Wrong, I took on the wrong number. I'm sorry. I had to go back and get the right number.
No problem. Thank you so much. Okay. Allison, we're going to, we can start recording?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
I'm going to be fine. Hold, okay, I'm sorry. All right.
Okay, everybody, we're going to begin now. Thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I am Judy Steinig, Director of Community Services for the Orthodox Union, and it is my honor to host this program. The OU created Spirit several years ago as an on-site program that was held in Teaneck, New Jersey, Boynton Beach in Boca Raton, Florida, and five towns in Queens, New York. After a hiatus of a couple of years, we are happy to bring it back now as a pre-Pesach virtual program. The OU recognizes that as the generation of baby boomers leave their professional responsibilities, they are looking for educational stimulation. The goal of the Spirit program is to provide active retirees with opportunities for spiritual and intellectual growth. As soon as the OU became aware of the challenges being encountered by the over 60 population with regard to coronavirus, we realized that Spirit would be the perfect way to engage our retirees in a virtual setting. Today's session is co-sponsored by OHEL Children's Home and Family Services. The OU is always proud, and I am personally privileged to work with OHEL. Today's session is entitled Kavod, Honor, Kaved, Heavy, COVID. How to answer the call to honor our elderly parents during this difficult time. Our presenters today are Dr. Norman Blumenthal, OHEL's Director and Zachter Family Chair in Trauma and Crisis Response, and OHEL Merriam Center for Trauma, Bereavement, and Crisis Response, and Harriet Blank, LCSW, Director of Geriatric Services for OHEL Children's Home and Family Services. If you have any questions or comments for our presenters, please feel free to email me at steinigj@ou.org. That's steinigj@ou.org. And I will make sure that our presenters see your questions, and we will send out something following the program with any answers that we can't deal with today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy the program and tell your friends to join us for the rest of the series, which will be again on Tuesday and on Thursday at 3:30. If they miss any of the programs, they're being recorded and will be available to send out the links shortly after the program for viewing. Stay strong and be healthy. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Good afternoon. I'm Norm Blumenthal, and it's really a privilege to be presenting today. I'm going to speak for about 10, 15 minutes and then hand it over to my colleague, Harriet Blank, who runs our geriatric program at OHEL. I want to begin by thanking the OU and Judy Steinig for setting this up, for Harriet Blank, our coordinator for geriatric services at OHEL, for arranging this, and as well for OHEL in general, for giving me the opportunity to provide this assistance during these very difficult times. Also, it's my hope and prayer, and I'm sure I speak for everyone here, that those who have been afflicted by the COVID-19, the coronavirus, will have a speedy refuah shleima, a speedy recovery, and that those of us who have been spared, we should continue to be spared, and we should be relieved of this plague and these hardships in the very near future. So let me start by mentioning a few important points. One of them is we are by nature social beings. People have a tendency to look at social interaction and social connections as sort of a luxury. We sort of naturally think that our basic needs are safety, food, shelter, and these are basic needs. But connection with other people is also a very basic need. And feeling disconnected and feeling apart from others is in of itself a stressor. It can exacerbate pre-existing conditions, it can make illness worse, etc. So being disconnected is a huge stressor, is almost a threat to our well-being. And therefore, it becomes very important that at all costs, we try to preserve, not at all costs, but at many costs, we preserve our social connection. And we have to be very grateful that we have the kind of technology that we're using today. Imagine if we were going through the crisis that we're going through now, and we didn't have the means or wherewithal to connect to others, not only auditorily, but visually as well. And it's almost as if, you know, the rabbis teach that God makes the cure before he makes the illness. And I would safely say that the internet is the cure before this illness. And we have to, as much as possible, take advantage of these media. And they're not all that complicated. We don't have to have degrees in computer sciences to be able to connect and relate. And we should use this, because the more disconnected we feel, the more threat it is that exists to us. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we take undue chances and risks. And many people, and I'll say even many of our older population as senior citizens, sometimes have a sort of more cavalier attitude. I've lived this long, I've managed, you know, what will be the big deal if I'm hearing this on the phone, I'm hearing this from calls we're getting. What would be the big deal if I step outside? What would be the big deal if I go to the grocery store? And I just want to remind you to, first of all, every minute of life, as you know, is precious. And not only that, but it's the illness itself is very devastating, can be very painful and discomforting, and also it's a risk to other people. So for the cause of others, we need to preserve the quarantine and staying apart as much as possible. There are many things we can do while this is going on to mitigate its negative effects. As I said, one of them is clearly remaining in touch, and please make it your business to do so. Another is preserving your routine. And I know this has been covered a lot, so I'm not going to harp on this, but the routine is very therapeutic. And the routine means trying to get up at the same time you usually get up, following your regular eating schedule, try to be productive. Try to use the time as you would if this weren't going on, as much as humanly possible. Again, short of actually going out and interacting with other people. Get dressed. Don't lounge around in pajamas all day. Wear your regular work clothing, or wear at least the kind of clothing that you would wear when you're active. Change into more casual clothing when you would routinely change into casual clothing. But the day in and day out routine is not only important in giving us a sense that there is some normalcy, but the routine is a way of reducing anxiety. And there's a significant way in which we can reduce stress. And many people whose lives have been turned upside down, but here we're having it communally, but even individually, find something incredibly therapeutic about then resuming, as I said, resuming the routine. We know, for example, post-Shiva, there's a tradition in many communities that the people who had just grieved and mourned are walked around the block. The message many people say of the walk around the block is just, now it's time to get back into your daily routine. Now it's time to get back to your life out there. And that's a very important part of coming to terms with this. Another very difficult task, and I see this all the time, and I can certainly say I've experienced it myself, is when you have to go from a benefactor to a beneficiary. We are all much more proud of ourselves when we are the givers, when we are the ones helping others. And yet life circumstances sometimes confronts us when we have to be the recipients of help. And many of us are ashamed and embarrassed, or we try to maintain a certain level of bravado and self-sufficiency that we don't want to be the recipients of help. And life is such that sometimes we have to be the givers and sometimes we have to be the takers. And if you're in a position that you have to be the recipient of help, do so graciously and do so without an iota of shame. Demand it, call upon people to help you. There's no shame. As I said, life in varying times puts us in those different positions. I can certainly think in terms of my life, that there are times when I'm the helper and the times when I've needed others to help me. And that's what cements our connection with others. So if you have to find yourself very suddenly being more dependent on others, whether dependency is for actual basic provisions or whether dependency is even for just emotional support, please don't be ashamed. It's not any kind of sign of weakness or deficiency. It's really basically how God has made the world. And I'm going to conclude my remarks with this very important message, again, to some of the senior citizens, some of the older people who might right now may feel that they're not useful, or they're not, or they're undue strain in others. And I want to try to highlight this in many ways how you can be the helpful to others and helpful to your children, to your grandchildren, and if you're blessed with great grandchildren, the same. And that's, first of all, you have a lot of life experience and you have a lot of wisdom. And if we ever needed that wisdom and if we ever needed that assistance, it's when we're going through this time period. One of the things that makes it very hard for people is the belief that this is going to linger on forever, and we don't know. There's a lot of ambiguity and uncertainty. How long this will last, what will be the fallout, are we ever going to come out of it the same? And nobody's in a better position. Nobody's had more life experience. Nobody has lived through other difficult times and can communicate to us not only the reality that life is cyclical, that these crises tend to be something that are time limited, but also the fortitude and the strength of man. And we need you to do that, and we call upon you to educate the rest of us and give us that perspective, which is so important. I want to mention one other very interesting perspective that probably will come as a surprise to you, but is an important part of coping and reducing stress. There's a fascinating body of literature on ancestry and familiarity with ancestry and how important that is to others to manage stress and to manage anxiety. Just to give you an idea, according to an organization called Ancestry 2018, 3 out of 4 Americans cannot name all of their grandparents. 1 out of 5 cannot name even 1 great-grandparent. And yet 84% feel that it's important to know about your heritage and your life. And the research shows that people who have a sense of ancestral connection, those who know about grandparents, great-grandparents, is where the family hailed from, the stories and the legacies of their family, manage stress better and have lower anxiety than those who don't. We need, again, it goes back to what I said in the beginning, we need to belong, we need to feel connected. And we need to feel connected sort of horizontally to people around us. Now we also need to feel connected vertically. We need to feel connected to our children, to our grandchildren, and to our grandparents, and to our great-grandparents, and our heritage. And very interesting, in the same body of literature, is what we refer to as family narratives. What were the stories that were passed on from generation to generation, and which ones are the most effective? And they identified 3 types of family narratives. They called them the ascending narrative, the descending narrative, and the oscillating narrative. The ascending narrative is, it was terrible in the old country. We came here and everything was just wonderful. The descending narrative was, it was great in the old country. It was great back then. And then life got worse and worse and worse. And the oscillating narrative, which is the narrative, which is one where, yes, it was bad, then it got better, then it got hard, then it got better. And again, the research shows that it's the oscillating narrative that seems to be most effective in helping people cope and helping people through difficult times. And these are one of the most difficult times in many of our lifetimes that we're going through right now. And we need that narrative. We need that story and heritage that people, that you as our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents really possess. And we urge you and we turn upon you. We need your assistance. We need you to give us those stories, to remind us of periods of hardship in which we endured, in which we thrived, in which we came out the better people. And that'll help not only yourselves in terms of feeling important and productive during this very difficult time, which we all need, but also be helpful to all of us. So I urge you to please share with us, be part of this struggle, and hopefully together we'll emerge from it quickly and relatively unscathed. Thank you for listening. And again, we're available. I can speak for Orville that we're available for anybody who needs more personal or any kind of tailored help. We're going to share that information with at the end of our presentation.
I don't know if I just take over.
I think that's where you come in, right? I'm not sure. Are you getting the...
So I hope everyone can hear now. And my name's Harriet Blank. I'm the director of geriatrics at OHEL. And first, I want to thank, again, just like Norman said, the OU and OHEL for helping and for being available, and also for all those helping professionals and volunteers. This is really a difficult and strange time, so I really do appreciate all that help. And actually, normally, what is this? Today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. it's Rosh Chodesh, 14 days till Pesach. So normally this is a time when we're deep in cleaning, packing, shopping, and planning. It's a time when family and friends are looking forward to Pesach, maybe not always looking forward, but that's a whole different topic. And it will be something for us to talk about. So now, though, we have for new and old traditions for this Pesach, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but I also want to talk about the topic at hand, which is how do we honor our parents? How do we still have kibud av and aim in this very difficult time of crisis, especially in a time when we're in lockdown and we sometimes think about how can we handle this? And especially those of us who are part of the sandwich generation, where we're trying to take care of both our parents, and then we're also thinking about ourselves, and we're also thinking about children and maybe even our own grandchildren. So again, that's the first thing. And so keeping mitzvahs, you know, here we are when Norman spoke about routine, the routines that we normally have, and to remember that mitzvahs are good for us because they give us structure. They help to give us routine and to keep us in the path that we're normally used to. It's also a reminder for us in this time when we're not sure what's happening, that God is ever present and that we're really trying to get through this. So the title, Kibud is heavy, Kavod is honor, and then it becomes heavy, sorry. And even with Corona or COVID, we still have to do this mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. And one thing to remember about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is it isn't payback for what our parents did for us. Because the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is still incumbent upon us, even when we've had bad parents, even abusive parents, you still have to perform this mitzvah. What is the payback, though? The payback is because our parents gave us the ultimate gift, and that is the gift of life. After that, there is sometimes some pause or cause for other kinds of issues. And commentators and the Mefarshim speak that this mitzvah was given to us as in part of the Ten Commandments and given to us on the side that has to talk about Ben Adam LaMakom, about man and God. Now, why wasn't it like with murder and things like that? Because it really is, this is a mitzvah to show us how to have a relationship. How do we relate to our parents? How do we relate to our peers? But also more importantly, how do we relate to God? And relating to God even when there is bad times. Don't take for granted that we have ways to get closer to ourselves, even in this bad time or this difficult time. And as an aside, we really do need to remember that this is also something for us to model to our own children and grandchildren. See how we behave, see how we interact, see how we ask questions. So the mitzvah, just to go right through it, is to help feed, clothe, and take care of physical care and bills. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do this for ourselves. And again, many Rabbanim have talked about this, and there are many lectures given about this in greater detail. But one of the important things, and something that I know we talk about, my staff and I, a lot, is that it doesn't mean that a child has to do the actual feeding, clothing, and taking care physically. Part of it might be to make sure that it's done. Make sure that there is someone who can help your parent. Make sure that there is someone that's there to make sure bills are paid. So there are people, there are other places. Sometimes, by the way, it's better for the child not to be the one who actually does this. And here, in this time when we're doing self-isolation and quarantine, it actually might be better for someone else not to do that. We talk about food drop-offs, being on phone, putting things by the doorways, online shopping, phone contact, and technology. And, you know, technology, especially as Norman said, it's a great gift that we have. And, you know, again, we have a great story about how we stay connected with technology, where in times of not crisis, we have a program where we try to come up with activities for people who are socially isolated. We were able to teach a great-grandmother how does she use Facebook. She was very depressed. She didn't see people. She couldn't get out. She was physically too frail, but she felt that she was not the matriarch. And we helped her by teaching her Facebook and how to become friends with both her kids, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. Now, she still couldn't get out of the house, But her depression was alleviated because she now was part of knowing what was going on with them. So that don't be afraid of technology, and don't think that just because someone's older, they might not be able to learn how to use technology. No, we all have to get over some of those fears and just go dive right into it. And again, we have to remember that even if our parents are afraid or we're afraid and we say, no, I have to go in and see them, we need to remember, as Norman said, in this crazy time, being together is not always the best thing we can do for our families. Being apart is actually the safest place we can be. And again, especially for people in the sandwich generation that are struggling with how I need to help my family, I need to help my children. You know, we've all talked about that at different kinds of lectures. How do I help children? How do I help grandchildren? And how do I help my older adults? Sometimes the best thing we can do is almost learn how to navigate all the different generations without actually physically touching them. And it's one thing that a couple of points that I want to take care to make sure we mention is now it's even more important than usual for people to make sure they know what are the important phone numbers? What are the emergency phone numbers? Well, how can we reach parents? Do you know your parents' doctor's number, the pharmacist's number, the home care agency's number if they have help? Do you have a copy or a list of what medications and allergies they have? If there is a healthcare proxy and advanced directives. We should always know this, but in this time when we're not necessarily even physically with our parents, it's really important. And I really want to stress that. Again, make sure you know the important numbers for your parents. And again, make sure you have it in an important place. If you're talking to your parents and you don't have it, ask them where do they keep it in the house. Many people keep it right on their refrigerator. So make sure that you know that. And again, as we've said, call regularly. That just doesn't mean you. You might want to tell your children, your friends, family. Make chain phone calls. Again, if you don't normally call family members every day, now might be the time. If you're used to having a visit, have a phone visit. There are a lot of things that we can do, both on the phone and with our computer, to help make people feel connected. You know, we at OHEL have been calling every single one of our clients, even those that we've closed, that we're not seeing, to say, how are you doing? Do you have food? Again, it makes someone feel connected, but then also they let us know how happy they are that people really still care about us. Sometimes when you're feeling so isolated and maybe we become news junkies and the only thing we're watching, and especially often we'll see people will say they're watching the news all day, is you kind of feel like you're on overload of COVID. So you need to take some time to do something else. And again, as family members, and I know this is hard for all of us, if we're speaking to our older adults, please try listening to what they have to say. I mean, we should do this for anybody. We don't always have to multitask. Enough stories have been said that multitasking, and there's not one of us who aren't guilty of this, really isn't always so successful. We need the older person to feel they're not a burden. And sometimes our language, our intonation, the way we're speaking gets misunderstood when we're doing it by phone or again on a computer or on a screen. And this need to self-isolate, we need to sometimes remind ourselves as well as our older adults who might be feeling extraordinarily lonely too, that this is just temporary. We're looking at separation as a gift so that they can enjoy the nachas that they have. And that sometimes the smartest thing we can do, separating, is sometimes the most difficult thing. I also want to mention Holocaust survivors. For those of you who either are survivors or who have family members who are survivors, I want to say that self-isolation, this idea of quarantine, might be triggering past traumas and events. So we need to listen to see how they're handling it. And we've heard people also say, you think it's bad now, remember when. And that's true too. That's why I go back that the most important thing you can do is really listen. Allow people to have their feelings, allow them to have their thoughts and validate them. But ask them if they're really feeling nervous or scared. We had a call from someone today who just said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that, and even with my aid, what if I die? Will anybody know that I died? I feel like this is what happened all over again. Who will tell my story? So we ask them, what helped them in the past? What kinds of things helped you to feel resilient? And we do remind, especially survivors and other people who've had trauma, how resilient they really are. And where, yes, they might have scars and they might have difficulties, but we try to be more strength-based and help them through this. And again, as Norman said, tell you so you can also tell your grandchildren. It's your Misora, and each family has their own Misora. But again, if you feel that your family member yourself needs a professional help to talk to, again, it's no shame. There's places like OHEL or other agencies that have phone reassurance. And at the end, I'm just going to review our name, you know, our number and our emails. I also want to touch upon the difficult parents. And we all have sometimes encountered the person who always refuses help, refuses to do what you ask. They want to be alone. They're going to figure it out. They, you know, we joke about it amongst my friends when we talk about this. The person who said, it's okay, I'll just sit in the dark. And I think that this is especially difficult both for the adult child as well as for the older adult parents. And so the one thing I want to tell you is you need to figure out, is this person saying this because they're feeling nervous and scared, or is this their norm? Is this the way they always act? Because if you can say, okay, this is the way they always act, you might need to let them talk and to say to them, maybe I know that this is so difficult for you, but I want you to make the plan with me. I want you to still feel like you're in control in a time when we all feel out of control and everybody wants control back. So help me figure out a plan, Mom, for you to be able to be self-quarantined and still, or isolated and still get the things you need. What are the things you want? What will make it better? Is it better to get online service? Like, is it better for me to call online and let you choose your food? Do you want me to have a shopping list and make the delivery and put it by the door? Let's think about what can we do so you have input and safety. And the other thing I want to say is, remember, there are times when people make poor choices and it's scary and we get upset about it, but people do have those rights. And just a little piece to just say that if your family member really is giving you difficulty and we decide we need to make the choices for them, just make sure we help as best we can to make them feel in control, and it's not our need to control, again, a very difficult and out of control situation. And when family members won't listen about issues with basic health and basic needs and safety, which is paramount, not just for themselves, but for others, we talk about people being the spreaders, then you need to figure out who will they listen to. Often a parent won't listen to an adult child. They might listen to a grandchild. They might listen to the rabbi, another friend, a doctor. So figure this out. And in the remaining few minutes, I just want to talk a little bit about Pesach, a time of manishtana. What is different? Everything is different now. Here we are in spring, our holiday of freedom, of coming together, and what are we telling? The opposite. Everybody, self-isolate, stay away. So we need to figure out ways for flexibility. We need to stay within our halachic bounds. Again, I'm not a posek. Any questions, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But we need to think about this year being a different Pesach. We talk about single people having siddurim. When in the world did we ever say that we would say, Grandma, you stay home alone and have a Seder? We talk about two older adults who might be neighbors having a Seder. Middle-aged children and their parents, they can have a Seder. Some people being on one part of the floor, on if it's a two-story house and another, talking loudly. Again, very different. We know we don't see minyanim. And so that the Seders will be different this year for everybody. But then, and how are we going to make them happy? How are we going to do them? And some of it is by sometimes planning, thinking about things. What can we do to still make them special? One of the things we've been talking about in OHEL and which we've been doing is we've been having quote unquote mock Seders before Pesach on the phone and the computer. We ask clients, we ask families to sing the songs, and a family can do that. Tell us your stories, include the generations. And you know, we talked about mock seders when people were in preschool, and I'm not trying to infantilize anyone, but it's a way of celebrating what we can together. And to conclude, we are alone right now in the sense that we're in our homes alone. Each of us are in our own places. Morgan and I work together, but we're each not recording together. But we're alone together. And this will pass this time. And we need what is our toolbox. We need humor to talk and connections, safety plans, care, and love. All this is done because we love and care each other. We need to reinforce the family and ourselves that we are in this together today. And we will be strong because we are resilient. We need to help our older adults feel that way and to feel that we really don't think of them as a burden, but someone where we are getting a lot of strength from. And we need to look at the future. We end our seders all the time with L'shana haba'a b'Yerushalayim. Next year, we're gonna be in Jerusalem. Next, no matter how great our seder it was, how much stories we had, how much singing, how much things everybody had to say, next year, it's gonna be even better. We're gonna be in Yerushalayim, we're gonna be in Jerusalem, and hopefully Mashiach will be here. So may we pray to continue doing the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, to be healthy, safe, and looking ahead, because the truth is we're in this together and we will survive and we'll thrive even. And just from my point of view, Norman and I, if anyone has any questions, we can be reached at OHEL. I'm going to give you just one number, 718-686-3100, and people answer questions or call me back. I'm going to give you my email. It's diet@family.org. And I thank the OU, I thank Norman and all my colleagues and all the listeners, and everyone stay safe, be well, and a Chag Sameach.
Let me just mention also on the part of the trauma team, we are making ourselves available for one-to-one crisis intervention if needed. For the time being, you can schedule those appointments by emailing copingwithcovid19@ohelfamily.org. That's copingwithcovid19@ohelfamily.org. In the very near future, we will actually have a virtual office with waiting rooms when people will not see each other and will be able to be moved remotely into individual sessions with crisis interveners at set times. So we will have that shortly and we'll make that information available to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Blumenthal. Thank you, Harriet. I knew that we would have an all-star team to start this program. We really appreciate it. I want to thank everybody so much for tuning in. And I hope that you enjoyed the program and got a lot from it. We will be having recordings, will be available shortly, I've been told. So if you want one before we have a chance to actually put it online on the OU's website, just email me steinigj@ou.org. We're happy to get this to you, to your friends. Join us again on Tuesday, March 31st, when we'll be doing chair exercises. I want everybody just to hope strong, stay healthy, and looking forward to seeing you all back next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.